lot of fans hoping that the CFL and the CFLPA come to some sort of a love agreement in the near future. But right now, no CBA. It officially expired last night. But the CFL players will be showing up for medicals and everything else. President of the PA, Scott Flory, joins us once again. Scott, how are you doing?
Good. How are you guys doing today?
Good, Scott. I guess talk about the decision, the good faith factor for the players to show up. Do you feel that lessens, the league thinks that maybe, okay, we're breaking these guys down if you show up?
I'm not too concerned about them or what they think, to be honest with you. We care about our guys are committed to playing the game. They love to play the game. They want to play the game. The fans want to see them play the game. So we thought that it could be a good faith effort to send the guys to camp.
Scott, the deadline passed last night. Did you get a sense, a change in the membership? You know, it's one thing to do deals before it broke down or before the negotiation and the CBA ran out. But now you're on the other side of that. Do you guys get a little more nervous now they're past that time?
What do you mean?
Well, just as far as like, I've been through many lockouts myself in the NHL, and I always felt that before it was easy to kind of say, okay, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. Once the deadline of the CBA running out, that time expired, I always sensed the difference in the players. Some guys got really antsy. I remember the day after in 04-05, that one player said we should just accept whatever the owners have given us. Did you get a sense that your membership has changed now that they're past the CBA expiration time?
Not at all. I think that our players are incredibly united together. I think that what we're asking for, we're just looking to negotiate. What we're asking for, we feel, is very fair and very reasonable. It's nothing more than that. We just want to sit down and be able to actually negotiate some kind of resolution to this. And I think that we've said that consistently right from the start. Our message has been consistent. We're always open to sit down. We don't walk away from the table. We want to sit there and talk. And that's all we're looking for. I think our guys are, together. The level of communication, our player reps doing an amazing job trying to stay in touch with everybody. And all the players, I mean, they talk. Our guys are together. They're united in that locker room.
Scott Flory joins us. Scott, the CFL sent out some numbers today suggesting that their offer was to increase the player compensation by $850,000 per team in the first year of the deal, and that your counter offer is basically at $2.4 million per team in the first year of the deal. Are those numbers accurate?
we obviously differ. They've got their opinion and we've got ours. At the end of the day, what we put forward a minimum compensation, so a floor. And then that's at $4.8 million, which is what they told us was in the, just would make every team profitable. So, it'd make the league profitable. So we felt that was incredibly fair. Now there is a higher cap, but that's just what it is. It's a cap. So if teams choose to spend to that cap, they have that choice. Nobody's forcing anybody to spend to the salary cap.
And I actually want to ask you about that salary cap, Scott, because I would suggest now like 90% or 95% of the players have already signed their contracts based on last year, where I don't know how many owners were expecting the salary cap go up. So even if the cap is coming, let's argue and say at 5.8, like how many players really would it impact this year? Because most of them, don't they already have contracts signed?
You're exactly right. And that's why the only way we can benefit our veterans is through the one-time payment. Because you're exactly right. Guys are locked in on deals already, so they wouldn't benefit. So, that's the reason why we have that in there. So, it's somewhat arbitrary, I guess, the cap in the first year, because they've already told us that most of the money, what they were proposing already to the cap, is already spent, on guys that either signed in the offseason or especially new guys and draft picks. So how do our veterans share in any growth in this year? And that was what the one-time payment was for.
Are the veterans looking out for the interests of the younger players coming in and perhaps for the years to come in this group? Is that a big idea, a big concept for this group right now?
We're out to protect everybody. As an organization, as a union, we represent all our members. Doesn't matter, Canadian, American, O-lineman to DB, we represent everybody. First year to 10th to 20th year in the case of Paul McCallum in BC. So we represent all. And to be honest with you, this is something that should resonate most of all with the young guys, because they have the most opportunity to have the longest career in this league. So, our veterans have done a great job, and they will continue to do a great job as they get into camps and to talk and to educate our guys as much as we can.
You know, it's a great point you bring up with the young guys. They're the ones that will most likely benefit the most from this situation. Are a lot of the young guys getting involved? I understand the rookies and that, but I'm talking maybe second, third, and fourth year guys. Are these guys really getting involved and biting into what could make a big impact on their earning dollars going forward?
Absolutely. When we met early with the league, a month and a half ago in Toronto, we had almost 30 guys in the room, and it covered every team across the league. It covered first-year vets up to 10, 12, 15-year guys. So, we've got a spectrum. It covers everybody. Everybody's engaged about it because it affects all of us. And at the end of the day, we all have to look at each other in the eye in our locker room. And, we don't go out there and play the game of football as individuals. It's the ultimate team game, and our guys are connected, and they have to be connected. And that's where our membership's at.
Scott Flory joins us, president of the PA. Scott, I know the leagues are very different, but in the NFL, at the end of the season in the NFL, the players will get a check from the NFL saying their likeness was used so many times on billboards, and they get a small chunk of it. And you being from Saskatchewan, the Riders right now are making tons of money with memorabilia. And I know even in Edmonton last year, there was a Mike Riley T-shirt that said Warrior with his face on the back. And the players don't get any of that. Is there any is that in the negotiations at all, where the players will get some sort of kickback from the merchandise?
Well, that was part of the our marketing allotment. We give them certain rights to be able to use players' images and things like that. That's where that one-time payment, what they allude to is extra player costs. But that's not a cost. That's a colossal benefit to the league and the teams to be able to do things like that. To be able to profit off that. Obviously, you just can't use the intellectual property rights of anybody without their consent. But there are certain rights that we have turned over to them to be able to market and promote this game in this league. The price that they pay us in an association for that is incredibly minimal.
Have they given you understanding or given you guys any clarity as to why the league is resisting having an independent evaluator of concussions on the sidelines for each game?
No. I can speak to the medical situation in Montreal, and I've only gotten wind of different things from across different spectrums talking to the guys. And this isn't any kind of slam on the medical, the doctors or the staff that are working on guys. But all we're saying is we just want to have the ability to have an independent person who's not bound by any team or any organization and being able to sit there and a true specialist be able to look at our guys. And that's all we're saying. And it's just kind of creating standards, moving forward. We all know the education out there and the research and everything that's gone in the scientific community towards head trauma and shots and the continued repeated blows to the head. And I think you see that in our proposal with padded practices. We're professionals. The guys don't need to be in pads more than one day a week. It's one of those diminishing return things where it's shortening guys' careers. And we want them to be healthy and walking and thinking late into their years.
Scott Flory, president of the PA, joins us. Scott, I know that in Alberta, the labor law, basically, today the CFLPA applied for a strike vote to the Alberta Labor Relations Board that was to be held next Saturday, June 7th. So that means, though, that under Alberta labor laws, that the earliest you could actually vote across the league would be Tuesday, June 10th, because they need 72 hours, which would be, I think, before the first preseason game. Is it safe to say that right now the plan is you guys won't play a preseason game without an existing CBA?
I cannot confirm or deny any plans that we have right now. All I can say is that our membership, coast to coast, is united. I can assure you of that. And our like as I said, from our executives and negotiating committee down to our player reps, who've been doing an amazing job of keeping our guys educated. Just on the issues and where we're at, and clearly the league office doesn't think that that we are communicating to our members because they're trying to bypass that process through us. And you know what? Our guys are getting the message. They are. They're getting it from us, and they're talking to each other. What our plan is and strategy is moving forward. I'm waiting to hear from the commissioner because we want to sit down and actually negotiate something.
Yeah, that was my last question for you, Scott. Any plans to have another sit-down?
We left a week ago when they flat-out rejected our proposal and went on the media blitz, and, we left that. Assuming they would get a hold of us. I didn't hear. I reached out last Sunday and said, it's time. We should actually sit down and negotiate. the deadline is looming. We sat down for another 2 days of you know, what appeared to be somewhat, we thought we had good dialogue. It was somewhat of the same. And at the end of it, it was, you know, it was, terms were presented to us, and it was a take it or leave it attitude. And, you know, from our end, that's not negotiation. Once again, they, you know, they left the room, unfortunately. And so we're waiting to hear.
Scott, hopefully this gets rectified sooner than later. I appreciate the update.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, guys. Appreciate it.